Turning your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we want to read the first verse. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can look into your word tonight and that we have your promise that you're here with us. And we have your promise that your Spirit will teach us and guide us into all truth. And we claim those promises tonight. So we study your word together that we would see the things that we need to see. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, before we move on in our study of the book of Galatians, we want to think one more time about Paul's words here, that he is an apostle, but not by man. Last week, we saw Saul as a prominent figure in the Jewish religion. But he was made by man. Saul was an honors graduate from the seminary of Gamaliel. He was, as we saw in Philippians chapter 3, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. Look at verse 13 here in chapter 1. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Paul said in Philippians 3:6 that his zeal was persecuting the church. He says that here in verse 13. "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." The effect of Paul's education at Gamaliel Seminary produced in him a zeal for persecuting the church. Persecuting it beyond measure, making havoc of the church, as we saw in Acts chapter 8 last week. This education at the feet of Gamaliel made him religious, exceeding zealous of the traditions of men. This is exactly what's happened in the seminaries of the mainline denominations in this country. The men and now women who have graduated from these seminaries are Methodists of the Methodists and Presbyterians of the Presbyterians and Episcopals of the Episcopals and so on. They're steeped in the tradition of men. They're just like the Pharisees that we find here in the New Testament. These men of whom the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, that they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. That is what they are exceeding zealous of. And their enemy is the truth. Their enemy is the simplicity that is in Christ and those who stand for it. That was the enemy in Paul's day. It's the enemy today. And they've come into these mainline denominations, these men and women, and wasted and made havoc of these churches, just as Saul did. And this was Saul before he was saved. Religious but lost. Religious and exceeding zealous of the traditions of men to the point that he actually fulfilled the words of the Lord Jesus in John 16:2, where he said, "The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Saul thought he was doing God service when he tried to eliminate the church. These Christians, these Bible believers, they're the ones that are dangerous. They're dangerous to our traditions. They're dangerous to our place. They're dangerous to the people in our congregations. And so they must be dealt with. The manner of life of these pastors and teachers in our day who are made by man. Their manner of life, they're religious but lost. And their conduct, their behavior is based on religion, not the truth of the Word of God. And their goal is to profit in their religion above as many of their equals as they can, to get promoted to the largest and the most prestigious churches in their denomination, and someday maybe even become the head of their denomination. This was Paul. But then Paul got saved. And when he got saved, he was made an apostle, not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And God did for Paul exactly what Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. We looked at last week, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles. That's Paul. That's Paul. And some prophets. I believe we could make the case for Paul as a prophet, because he's the one who writes the prophecies of the mystery of the rapture. He calls it that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He wrote about the prophecy of the Lord's coming to the air in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He wrote about the prophecy, or he wrote the prophecy that of the conditions that will exist in the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The coming of the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul had the gift of prophecy in the sense that we think of that word. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. The idea of that word evangelist is to preach the gospel. And that's what Paul did. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Paul had the gift of evangelist. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors. Some call Paul's epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus pastoral epistles. And that's fine. But there's a sense in which all of his letters to the churches are letters of a pastor to his congregation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as Paul was talking and detailing about all the things that had come into his life as he served the Lord, he said in verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The care of all the churches. That's what a pastor does, isn't it? Paul had the gift of pastor. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Teacher of the Gentiles. I believe that Paul had all of these gifts, because he's the one who God ordained to teach local New Testament church truth. He's the one that God ordained when the church was just beginning and when the church was just spreading. And Paul's ministry was to establish these new churches in the faith. He's a very unusual man in that regard. Today, as we mentioned last week, we don't have the gift of apostles and prophets as we see them here. But we do have those men who have the gift of pastors and teachers and evangelists. And so the question then is, how are these gifts developed in God's men? Well, I want us to see tonight that Paul is the pattern of how God develops these gifts in those that He gives them to. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. And notice the first word, but. But. In contrast to all that had gone before, in contrast to sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, in contrast to being an Hebrew of the Hebrews, in contrast to being a Pharisee and profiting in the Jews' religion above many of his equals, in contrast to being made all these things by man. Verse 15, Paul says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Now notice these next words. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Paul, who had been made by man, was now going to be made by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. And how were Jesus Christ and God the Father going to develop Paul's gifts? His gifts of apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher. How were these gifts going to be developed? How was the Lord going to do it? Well, Paul tells us how the Lord was not going to do it. Jesus Christ and God the Father were not going to do it by having Him confer with flesh and blood. That is not God's way. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus asked His disciples, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Keep your place here and look back a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is why Paul did not confer with flesh and blood. And the Spirit of God even reminds us here in Galatians, if you'll turn back there again, he reminds us here where Paul could have gone and who the flesh and blood was that Paul could have gone up to Jerusalem to confer with. It was them which were apostles before him. Now this is how man thinks. Okay, the Lord's made me an apostle. Now what do I do? Well, I need to go and talk to those who were apostles before me. That's not how God thinks. But think of who were apostles before Paul. Think of the men we're talking about. It was Peter, for example. He wrote the books of 1 and 2 Peter. It was James. James was the Lord's brother. Wouldn't you want to go and talk to him? It was James who wrote the epistle of James. It was John, the beloved disciple, the one who leaned on the Lord's breast at the Last Supper. John, who wrote three New Testament epistles in the book of the Revelation. Peter, James, and John, who Paul says in chapter 2 here in verse 9, were pillars. Pillars of the faith. Why would you not go and spend time and confer with them? How about Jude, the brother of James, who was the Lord's brother too? If there was ever flesh and blood that should be conferred with to develop Paul's gifts, this was that flesh and blood. And you see what the Lord is teaching us through the Apostle Paul is that conferring with flesh and blood to develop the gifts that God gave to Paul when he saved him was not God's way. It was not God's pattern. God's pattern is here in verse 17. Look at about halfway through that verse. Let's just read the beginning of it. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. God's pattern was for Paul to come to his school in Arabia. His school, in all likelihood, in the desert, to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. And all that we know about those 3 years is in verse 12. Well, let's read it, verse 11. Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." This is God's pattern. And he's teaching us about it in the life of the Apostle Paul. This is God's pattern for those to whom he gives the gift of pastor, preacher, teacher. 3 years. 3 years, and maybe more, but 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Henry Morris understands the message here. If you have a Defender Study Bible, he says in his note on this verse, "It is presumptuous for a new convert to think that he is ready for such a ministry before he has spent at least the equivalence of 3 full years in intensive study of the Scriptures." And then after 3 years in God's school, being taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ and being rooted and grounded in Him. And this is what is very interesting to me. Then and only then is Paul ready to confer with flesh and blood, with those who had been apostles before him. And then, as we see in verse 18, he only met with Peter for 15 days. Is there a message emerging here, maybe? 3 years with Jesus Christ versus 15 days with Peter. And then according to chapter 2 and verse 1, it's 14 years after before Paul went up again to Jerusalem and met with James and Peter and John. Right here in these verses is God's pattern. And it's in contrast to man's pattern. God's pattern is to come apart, to be taught by Jesus Christ in His Word, by the Spirit of God, who knows the things of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's not man's method for preparing those who have the gift of teaching and preaching, pastoring. Man's method is to immediately go to Jerusalem and confer with those who have been pastors and teachers and preachers before and be taught in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. This latter method is the tradition of our day. It's the tradition of our day. Young men to whom God gives the gift of pastor or teacher or preacher, the first thing they do is go off to school. And they're taught in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. And it changes them. Many, many times it changes them. I've told you before that we lived in a little town, Great Falls, South Carolina, from 1955 to 1960. And the churches there were full of religious but lost preachers. And my daddy started a young people's meeting. Every Thursday night, my brother David invited his friends, and they would come to the house, and Daddy would preach the gospel to them. And the group that came began to grow. Then he would load them up in his car, and maybe my brother would drive another car. He had his license when he was 14. I mean, his real full license at the age of 14. I'm sure glad we don't do it that way now. Sorry about that, young people. But he would go down to the drugstore and he'd buy all the kids an ice cream cone or a drink or whatever they wanted. There was a young man that Daddy met by the name of Mike Welchel. I'll never forget him. He was a young man who I believe had the gift of teaching and preaching the Word of God. He was at the time going to Columbia Bible College. And he was really on fire for the Lord. And he would come once or twice a month on Thursday night and he would preach to those young people. Well, the time came when he was through at Columbia Bible College and he went off to a seminary in Mississippi. I don't remember the name of it. But I remember how he was when he came out of that seminary. He came out of that school watered down. The fire was gone. That gleam in his eye, that enthusiasm for the Word of God was gone. Oh, he still preached. But he wasn't the same young man that went into that seminary. And that's what happens to so many of these young men. It happens to those who have the gift of pastor and teacher. And it happens to those who don't have the gift of pastor and teacher and preacher, but go to these schools because they want a man to convey the gift to them in a diploma. This is man's way. And make them pastors and teachers and preachers. They weren't made that by Jesus Christ. They weren't made that by God the Father who raised him from the dead, but they are made pastors and teachers by men. And in both of these situations, those who have the gift and go to the schools, and those who don't have the gift to go to the school, don't have the gift and go to these schools. In both of these situations, men come out, or at least many, many of them, and they come out with a new version of the Bible in their hand. Because the Greeks seek after wisdom. And the words which man's wisdom teacheth say that the Greek New Testament of Westcott and Hort is superior. It's superior to that old Textus Receptus. We need the newest. We need the best Greek manuscripts. And so these men go into these churches and they preach watered-down messages from a watered-down Bible, because the men in the pulpit have conferred with flesh and blood. Yes, they preach the gospel, but they're program-oriented and man-made growth-oriented. You know, we can't wait for the Lord to add to the church. We need to add to it by having convenient services and contemporary music. Or we might need to still have a traditional service. We'll do that if we have to. And depending on where they went to school, they may take no stand for Christian education. They may have the philosophy that, you know, it's fine for parents to send their children to the public school so they can be missionaries there. They would never preach from Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth the error from the words of knowledge. They would never say that it's a sin for a Christian to send their children to the public schools, because that's offensive. That's offensive. That's how you drive people away. It's offensive to parents. It's offensive to the public school teachers who are comfortable in their churches. And the result is exactly what we were talking about this morning. The result is my people. My people. And we aren't talking about my people in the generic sense as we were this morning. We're talking about God's people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's no knowledge of God in the church because it's full of carnal babes in Christ. It's full of carnal Christians who have to be fed with milk and not with meat. Carnal Christians among whom there is envying and strife and divisions. That's why there are so many church splits in this country. You see them everywhere you go. Next time you ride somewhere, notice how on this corner, in this town, you might see the church, Hope Church. 2 or 3 miles down the road, you'll see New Hope Church. Why is it like that? Because it was started by the folks who left Hope Church. I think I've told you before about the man who had been on a desert island. And when he was finally rescued and they were gathering up what few belongings he had, they asked him why there was 3 huts on the island. And he said, well, that hut there is where I live. That hut is where I go to church now. That hut is where I used to go to church. That's American Christianity. And all of these splits and all of these divisions create a need for more pastors and teachers and preachers. And many of these churches are filled by men who have watched a particular style of preaching. And they go into the pulpit and they emulate what they have seen as the way to preach. We've been watching Brother David Cloud's videos on Bible prophecy as light on the 21st century. And I think the last one's tomorrow night, isn't it, Brother Jim? Doesn't seem like we've been through all of them. They've been a great blessing. But in his first message on the rapture, Brother David Cloud made this observation. He said that he grew up in the South. And he said there are a lot of brethren there that glory in ignorance. They don't believe in studying. A preacher shouldn't study. Just open his mouth. And what comes out, David Cloud asked? Hot air. Bunch of nothing. Foaming at the mouth. Shouting and stomping and jumping around. But nothing. No context. If I can get it to work, I want to play you a sample of what I believe Brother David is talking about.
Here we go. You want me to start at the feet or you want me to start at the head? Because I'm really wanting to blister some of y'all's haircuts. Amen. That's right. I mean, you're in an independent Baptist church and you got a King James Bible in your hand and you got a contemporary liberal hairdo. What in the world is wrong with you? Would you boys quit trying to look like the world? You ain't as cool as you think you are. You ain't as tough as you think you are. I want to get you a haircut that's high and tight over your ears and off your collar line and look like somebody that's been to the barber shop instead of the beauty salon. Amen.
That's very entertaining, isn't it? It's humorous, really. But it's not very edifying. The Lord Jesus didn't preach like that. How do we know? We have His sermons. The Lord didn't say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, amen. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Paul, Peter, they didn't preach like that. David Cloud went on to say that this is why you can sit in the average church for 20 years and never learn much about the Bible. That's why most people come to church and don't even open their Bibles in most churches. It goes back to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There is no knowledge of God in the churches. And it's because God's people in these churches have left the pattern of His Word. We've been talking about that for weeks and weeks. And this nation is suffering for it. This is why we've spent so much time in this first verse of Galatians. It's why it's so important. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. That's the pattern. May we ever follow it here at this church. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to study Your Word together. We thank You for every word of God. These two and three letter words, not of men, neither by man. We thank you for the depth of meaning that you have put into those words to teach us the pattern that we're to follow. We pray that we would do that here for your glory and honor until you come. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.